Welcome to Pisces Rising.
I'm Ash.
And I'm Heather.
We want to talk about astrology with you.
Go deep or go home.
Hello, everybody. We are coming to you from Lakeside.
Hi, everyone. It's been a little bit, but we are luxuriating on the lake at my little lake camp here in the middle of Maine.
It's beautiful.
So the noises you're going to hear are going to be different.
Yeah, you might hear some boats going by. You might hear some kids playing in the water in the distance.
Hopefully loons.
Ooh, that's very classic Maine.
Yeah.
I love it.
So we're going to talk to you today about potent magic times.
Yeah, days in the calendar year when maybe the veil is a little thin or maybe something very potent is happening astrologically and what that means for you and how you can possibly use that energy for your benefit. We're talking about this because the day that this podcast comes out is the Lion's Gate. So the Lion's Gate starts on August 8th every year, and it usually goes about like a day or two, and that is kind of what gave us the inspiration. We didn't think we could talk about Lionsgate for a full episode length, but there are many other days in the year where this is similar in its magic. So we'll probably start there and then we'll move on.
Yeah, I actually don't know too much about the Lionsgate. One of the things that I was thinking of it was what I was telling you. It seems to always fall right at the halfway mark of summer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all that I've noticed about it, but I actually don't know too much about it other than like it's a portal.
Yep. Yeah, it's pretty much, it's in the midpoint of Leo too, so it's about when Leo is at like 15 degrees. So this is really potent because it's something that was observed by many people over many thousands of years. So this dates back to ancient Egypt. And the Lion's Gate, when it's going on, there are like planetary alignments that line up with the tips of the pyramids at Giza. So that is something that the ancients knew about. And many people have speculated that that's why the pyramids were placed where they were, because they would line up on the specific date, or it would be some way to mark that on their calendars. And the Lion's Gate, it has to do with the star Sirius as well. Sirius is joining the configuration of planets when that comes around every year. And Sirius does have a lot of like extraterrestrial connotations. There's a lot of like starseed stuff that gets tied in with that. So it is like a potent day for like some people believe like extraterrestrial contact or like opening up to other dimensions, other gateways. But what it does is it opens up this like Leo portal because it's in the middle of Leo season, and it allows you to invoke like this creative energy and to be able to come up with these new ideas and to implement them and to receive inspiration and guidance from above, from the stars. So I'm fairly new to exploring the Lionsgate phenomenon. I also do this paranormal investigation series, and last year on the date of the Lionsgate, we were filming an episode, and I kind of dove into exploring it because it felt really potent. I was kind of looking up what was happening astrologically at that time. It was the new moon. And so I was exploring it, and I was like, oh, wow, it's also the Lion's Gate. And yeah, it ended up being a really intense investigation, probably more than we would normally have. And so I think that it does kind of open you up to higher consciousnesses. I wouldn't necessarily call it a thinning of the veil because it's less about like talking with the dead or whatever, even though that could be a part of it. It's more about opening yourself up to higher energies. So whether that looks like, you know, contact with extraterrestrials, other dimensional beings, or perhaps like your higher self, the divine, like spirit guides, things of that sort. I feel like the Lion's Gate portal is really good for that as well, and being able to tap into creativity through that channel.
I have nothing to say on it.
Okay.
But yeah. I enjoyed learning about it.
Yeah.
I was just looking, too, at the other ones. So it's definitely, if it's 15 degree in Leo, it is at that halfway point. And there's these series of, I would say, pagan holidays.
Yes.
Like, embolic, which would be Groundhog's Day and Beltane. I don't know if technically, it's Beltane is not May Day. It's different, but it's essentially the halfway point between spring and summer.
So anyway, these dates kind of, one, they kind of like create a square. They're all in fixed signs. And the energy of fixed, so for example, the energy around embolic, when it pushes through and we begin to like get more light and anticipate spring, is very concentrated. So, and these things kind of like bring hope, all of the in-between holidays bring hope in the fixed season. So these dates are potent for magic in the very physical sense. So what are you trying to manifest? What are you trying to bring in? What are you trying to be? What do you want to make concrete? And also, if you're kind of in your own healing journey and you, these dates can either make you go kind of like deeper into it and really hold on to what you get, hold on to that transformation. Because the other thing about these dates is they fall in the midpoint between the cardinal, mutable, and fixed. And it's always in a fixed sign because fixed is in the middle. But the energy is like, all right, what way are you going to go? Because when these dates hit, it's like what you're feeling is most likely going to stick. So what you've been dealing with, what you've been feeling is most likely going to kind of stick to your system. And working through these things when the energy is fixed ideally produces results that you can really see and feel and anticipate, but see also being the key word, like results that are pretty obvious. I also think that these dates that are magical have a thickness to them that also makes you work for the magic. Because even with the Lion's Gate and the planets that line up, I can't remember particularly, but there's also a square happening, right?
Yeah, there's definitely a fixed energy. I can't remember the exact planets or what's happening, but
if I remember correctly, it's a couple specific planets squaring.
Yep.
And it's like you have to work up a sweat to get to the glory. It's not like it just comes easy. These dates, these ruins that are built around certain time periods to kind of invoke the magic are built in these places where you like walk up a fucking mountain or in the middle of the desert. Like you work to build the monument that marks these places. So that are also connected to these dates.
Yes, exactly. There are numerous pagan holidays and they all correspond with those points between like marked solstices, equinoxes, and things like that. I do want to talk specifically about Samhain. Is that how you pronounce that?
Halloween Eve.
Yeah. So All Hallows Eve is one that's extremely potent, and that is, of course, in Scorpio season, and that is the day when the veil is maybe the thinnest during the calendar year. And I would argue that Scorpio season in general has the thinnest veil of all of the seasons in terms of being able to see into the unknown, seeing into the beyond, and maybe contacting and having these relationships with spirits who have passed on or the like. I think that even people that aren't sensitive to such things pick up on it more around that time.
The other thing, too, about the Scorpio veil being thin is, like, that time of year, a lot of planets concentrate in Scorpio. I think it's one of the... When you meet Scorpios and you're like, oh, they're really Scorpio probably because most Scorpios have, like, 3 or 4 different things in Scorpio.
Yeah. It's pretty rare to be a sun in Scorpio and have nothing else there.
Yeah. So that just makes that kind of like Pluto energy casting over really, really intense. It's also, Halloween is technically not the midpoint or so. It's not the midpoint.
It's not, but it's, I wonder, why do you think that date was chosen then?
I don't know. It's probably got to be connected to Day of the Dead too, which is November 1st, which is closer to the midpoint. But I'm sure Day of the Dead came first.
Oh, yeah. Day of the Dead is very ancient. And, I mean, that's a date to honor ancestors and to honor those who have passed. And, I mean, Halloween in some sense is as well, or at least the original meaning of it was. Yeah.
Yep.
And, in fact, yeah, I think that they probably were pretty linked, but broke apart at some point. You know, Halloween became more of, like, this westernized thing, but it's,
and Day of the Dead was chosen on that day because it was connected to it being one of the easiest days, because the veil is thin, mm-hmm. being the easiest day to be able to talk to your relatives or people that have passed.
Yes. Yeah, so I think the magic of Halloween specifically centers around people who have gone on to other worlds, being able to glimpse those other worlds. So that could be a really great day to contact those who have passed or to do paranormal investigation. It's funny because in all my years of having done that, I don't think I've ever done a formal investigation on Halloween, which is interesting.
Yeah, that is very weird.
We would usually film to have our episodes released around Halloween, so we were never actively filming then, but I mean, of course, I've like done my own things on the side, but nothing really concrete, like traveling to a place to check it out for that purpose. Yeah. Also, I would say, do you think there's any significance to like New Year's Day? It is just like a marker on the calendar, but I wonder specifically if there is some sort of significance in terms of magic.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Because that's the Gregorian calendar.
Exactly.
So it switched over. It's like, we don't want magic.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, that's exactly how I felt intuitively, but I wasn't really putting it into those thoughts until you said that. I was like, that just feels like an arbitrary date. Whereas I would probably look to like Lunar New Year or like Chinese New Year as having more magic because it's centered around the moon and the calendar that corresponds with the moon.
Yeah.
It's way more intuitive and in that divine feminine power.
This is not necessarily on the topic of magical days, but I do find it very interesting that school always starts in Virgo season.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the organization just happens so, which is magic, but it just happens so strong, that need to get back into routine after like long, intense, fixed summer Leo days.
Yeah, the schedule becomes important. And in a way, it's interesting that Capricorn brings in the new year, because that's also about scheduling and like calendar pages and things like that.
Yeah,
the last couple things I was thinking about were specifically like equinoxes and solstices being potent days of power. I think that that is absolutely true.
So the solstice, to me, is when I think about it, I don't know the word, not diabolical, but when I think about the solstice, I'll just explain and maybe you can give me the word. It's like Cancer, a very feminine sign that is shy and introverted. The sun, cardinal, 1 degree in Cancer, longest day of the year. The sun is masculine. And to get it for so long and have it be so hot and so outward, kicking off this like season of socializing, that hasn't really lined up for me. Like, I get it, I see it, I understand it, but I also see this contradiction, which is not necessarily the word I was thinking of, but the contradiction of the sun in Cancer. Like, it's almost like the sun is its detriment.
Yeah.
And I love summer solstice. I honor it. I like magic. Every summer solstice since I was 18, I've done something. But I just don't quite understand this, like, soft, subtle, like, here I am.
Yeah.
You know, it says those two things on that particular day.
And it's interesting because in the Southern Hemisphere, that date is the winter solstice, which is so interesting.
Yeah.
That almost makes more sense.
Yeah. That does make more sense.
And
yeah.
Then looking at the winter solstice in the Northern Hemisphere, that is Capricorn.
Yeah, which would be just so weird.
Exactly. Whereas the summer solstice being Capricorn, I don't know. Yeah, it's almost like the Southern Hemisphere ones make more sense to me right now in my mind. But yeah, it's interesting because I do think that the solstices, in a way, they're more like extroverted in their magic. It's almost like you can affect the external world more because it's just like the sun is this potent force within. It's like the sun is at its highest and its lowest point, so it's more of like this extroverted energy, like you could do magic to impact the world around you. Whereas I think of the equinoxes as maybe more internal because they're the kind of these midpoints between those dates, and there's more like work being done on the self, like the spring equinox, the vernal and the autumnal equinoxes being this kind of like inward pull that happens.
Yeah, which is really odd. Yes, I agree with all of that. I think that makes a lot of sense. And that's exactly how it feels to me, or at least how I experience it. But it's staged or verbalized as opposite, because the winter solstice here is inward. And the magic of the winter solstice would be like you have access to the power of the moon.
That's true.
You know, for 16 hours, where the summer solstice here in the Western Hemisphere, we have the sun. So you honor the sun. So the summer solstice, you're like, whoa, I have all this sun. I'm going to, you know, take in this power for the whole season. And that's what's honored because of the potency of it and the extroversion of it. But even the moon's not extroverted, but it can't control itself.
No, it's almost more like, yeah, I almost think of the winter solstice as being this kind of like outward lunacy that's happening. Like the moon is kind of casting its glow on everyone.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like pulling you out into this like weird darkness that's happening around you rather than inside of you. I feel like I'm getting like lost in my Cancer Mercury poetic thoughts, but hopefully this is making sense to somebody.
It's totally making sense to me. Like I'm realizing a lot of things through this conversation. For winter solstice, I tend to do rituals too with my female friends. Like, I'll either get a bunch of witchy women that live in different places and we all do something at the same time. Sometimes, yeah, it's just very much moon energy.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's more of like the coven comes out and does something together. Yeah. Whereas I think of the equinoxes more as like you're doing more solo work.
In the dark.
Yeah. Whereas, yeah, then the summer solstice, you're like dancing with all the fairy women in the fields, you know? Then the other thing I would think about is also eclipse season. To me, that's also a really intense portal.
Which people are like, don't do magic during the eclipse.
I disagree.
And I think it depends a little bit on your chart and what's going on. Oh, if you get super, super emotional by it, then maybe don't.
How do you feel but as a Cancer also, moon? Because I feel like people with Cancer in their chart tend to be more affected by eclipses than anyone else.
I definitely feel the eclipse, but I do practice magic on the eclipse because I think, but only if it's like, doesn't overtake me. So it's like I could not overtake it, but knowing it's coming really helps.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like about the magic aspect of it is if you're not internally going crazy, you feel this, the power of the sun and moon working together. And I think that's pretty special because that's just like the lover's card.
Yeah.
You know, it's just this like intertwining. And I do experience maybe my hormones or something more so during eclipses, or I'll feel more like sensitive and rageful. So if I'm in that place and I, you know, I know not to start something because I don't necessarily want to put those vibes out, unless I'm trying to like be super motivated or something, you know, you got to be careful with those vibes when you're setting an intention. Yes. I don't mind having those vibes. I don't mind absorbing the planet and seeing what happens. But during eclipses, you are emitting a frequency. You're absorbing and emitting a frequency. And to me, it feels really hormonal. So I do recommend being careful when you do eclipse stuff.
Yeah. Especially on the day of the eclipse. Like when you're in that kind of window between two eclipses, which is called like eclipse season, I feel like it might be easier if you're sensitive. But like on the actual date of the eclipse, it might be a little much.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about how cool it is that the date of Easter, like how it changes every year, is dependent on the moon. Like they pick the date for Easter based on the full moon, which I find really amazing because that's super pagan, but like it's
clearly a Catholic holiday. Easter was originally Ostara?
Yes.
So.
And yeah, there's like this symbol, like the symbol of Ostara is like the egg and the rabbit and fertility, which got translated into Easter. It's so interesting. And same with what's the Christmas one? Yule.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yule had to do with trees and decorating a tree, and that getting moved to Christmas. You can find all of these links between the pagan holidays and a lot of the major holidays that we celebrate now.
And the pagan holidays are based on the planets for sure.
They absolutely are. They were crafted with that in mind. And the other thing I was thinking about that's really funny, it's really funny to me. I know that Valentine's Day is kind of a made-up holiday, but it's so hilarious to me that it's in Aquarius season because that's like the least romantic sign.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Yeah, that's. I know Aquarians hate Valentine's Day.
Like, none of them like it. It would make so much more sense to put it in, like, Taurus or Libra season, but clearly nobody was consulting the astrology when they made that.
They're just like, the economy sucks. We need to do something.
Yeah, February is, like, one of the worst months for the economy. Let's boost it.
Flower shops and diamond places are going out of business.
Yeah, there's very little magic to Valentine's Day. There's no, like, astrological or, like, lunar consideration. So that's how you know it's a corporate holiday.
Yeah, it's like, let's make February not so boring and capitalized.
Exactly.
But that's the other thing to think about, though, in the summertime in other places, like in Australia, Valentine's Day is smack dab in the middle of the summer.
That's true. Do they celebrate Valentine's Day? I'll have to ask my
I don't know.
Australian clients.
I feel like, yeah, I guess maybe it is a corporate to the U.S., but
it's pretty.
Definitely Lebanon does Valentine's Day.
I think it's pretty worldwide at this point, yeah. It might have spread around the world. I'm honestly not too sure, but yeah, like I know people in Europe celebrate it. It's definitely something that made its way around the globe.
Cupid.
Yeah. That's funny.
I wonder if Cupid was an Aquarius.
Oh, maybe. Because he kind of always seems a little disgruntled. Like, he's doing it. He's, like, hitting people with the arrows and making them fall in love. But he's kind of, like, not super into it either.
Yeah.
It's just, like, consigned to do this task.
I'm going to ask Google or what's her name? Siri?
Yep. Siri, is Cupid an Aquarius?
When is Cupid's birthday? Is there any other holidays? There's also the regular Sagittarius.
Thanks.
Cupid's a Sagittarius.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. The archer, the bow.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
There's the aspects that happen, like the grand trines.
Yeah.
and the grand crosses that happens that creates, you know, special moments or like Jupiter bliss for a little while.
Yep.
The universal things, and those energies bring out a pretty clear, it's pretty clear when the planets are in harmony. Like, it's, you could tell when the collective is feeling something.
Absolutely.
By when you walk outside and feel those energies. I don't necessarily know if those would be considered highly magical.
They're charged
dates, but not necessarily like, I guess it would depend on the magic. Like, it would depend on, like, you know, noticing and wanting to put certain vibes out there. Sometimes, actually, during these certain things, there's collective, you know, yoga classes or things like that. Like, mm-hmm. the 222 one.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of hype around that and a lot of people getting together at exactly 222.
I'm glad that you mentioned that.
222.
Because I think that there is power to those numerological dates, and that's why it's interesting that the Lion's Gate is on 8-8. So if, you know, on a year when the digits add up to 8, that would probably be especially potent. I think that there is some magic to those numerological syncings that happen.
Yeah, because the vibration is really strong.
Yeah, and the power of those numbers. I've been noticing a lot of those trios of numbers lately, and it's funny because I don't often... That hasn't been a way that I've experienced like synchronicities or signs too much in my life. I've a little bit, like, I've gone through periods with it, but lately it's just been noticing those, like, you know, you buy something and it's 444 or
yeah,
whatever. It's just been like nonstop every day for the last week or so.
You're ascending.
Yeah, I guess so. I will take it. Yeah, well, thanks for listening, everyone. Let us know if you have any topic suggestions, anything you want to hear us talk about. We'll be back in a couple weeks. Bye. Thanks for listening to Pisces Rising. You can find us on Instagram at Pisces Rising Podcast. Email us piscesrisingpodcast@gmail.com or find us on Facebook. Have a magical day.